Imagine a world
where the boss pays you not to come in when you're sick. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. One Labor Day ago, President Obama had some news for 800,000 Americans. He signed an executive order requiring paid sick leave for employees of federal contractors. Over the last year, the issue has gained further momentum, especially among states, cities, and towns. Marketplace's Rima Crace reports.
When Kafira Palmer's husband got sick a few years ago, she took time off from her job as a telemarketer and stayed at home without pay.
So we went from a two-income family to a zero-income family.
Palmer eventually joined a campaign to require paid sick leave in Chicago, and it happened this summer, the latest place to do so in a list of more than 30 states and localities. Eileen Applebaum is with the Center for Economic and Policy Research. She found that part-time and low-wage workers are the least likely to get the benefit. And among those who do...
Employees view paid sick days as a kind of insurance. People do not just use them helter-skelter.
Applebaum studied New York City's 2014 law requiring paid sick leave. About 85% of the employers she surveyed said it didn't lead to higher costs.
It also had no effect on their hiring, on what they paid in wages.
That's preposterous.
Jack Mazloom is with the National Federation of Independent Business. He says laws requiring paid sick leave don't fit all companies.
Most small businesses operate on really small margins. They can't pay what they don't have.
Without national legislation, the Labor Department says nearly 44 million workers don't have the benefit. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Some public schools are now 3 or 4 weeks into their academic years, although New York City schools don't start until later this week. Michigan, Minnesota, and Virginia actually have laws barring schools from starting before Labor Day. But as Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, some school districts are pushing back.
Deciding when to set the first day of school can be a touchy subject. At Michigan's Rockford Public School, that day used to be the day after Labor Day. But in reality, some programs are already up and running 2 weeks earlier.
The parking lot's almost full with our fine arts programs that are in the swing of things. Our athletic programs are in the swing of things.
Doug Vanderjack is an assistant superintendent at Rockford. Rockford was granted a waiver to start 1 week early this year, which Vanderjack says makes sense, both to accommodate longer school years and to sync up with community colleges where many high schoolers take classes. But not everyone is a fan of starting school early. Eric Terry with the Virginia Restaurant, Lodging, and Travel Association says teenagers account for a big chunk of the state's 250,000 tourism workers.
We really rely on, you know, Memorial Day to Labor Day, and therefore take 2 weeks away from, you know, them to generate revenue. That's a big impact.
Terry says lots of people schedule vacations for Labor Day weekend, which is good for both students, families, and businesses. In Washington, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Now, you may not remember this, but back in the summer of 2016, for a brief moment, in early July of that year, everybody lost their minds and played this game called, I believe it's pronounced Pokemon, something like that. It's been a while. People use their phones to go out in the real world to find cartoon characters, tripping over curbs and fire hydrants in the process. In cities, no problem, but in rural areas, people felt a bit left out. On this last moment of summer, spiritually, if not celestially, let's go to Southwest Washington State, where Anna King of the Northwest News Network has this report.
Jim Heising and his family live on a farm way out in Southeast Washington. They recently moved here from the Bay Area, and then Pokemon Go came out. And then?
The experience has been a little bit frustrating because it seems like everyone else in the world is having this great fun with it, but out in the middle of nowhere, it's not that easy.
Not easy, because there's no Pokemon to catch. Just a blank map. A yawning blue and green screen. After trying and trying to play, they got excited when they actually spotted a Pokemon on their trap.
And for whatever reason, we kept walking and walking and walking, and it didn't get any closer. So it was like the GPS signal or the Wi-Fi signal or something wasn't really, really good out there. So,
well, then there's a self-service way out here.
Loading, loading.
I wrote
loading.
The game founder Niantic to check out why Pokemon stops are scarce here. Never heard back. But simply, outside software gurus say the game's foundation was laid down by geocaching players. So fewer players mean less Pokemon stuff to interact with.
I'll open up my map and I'll just see stops.
That's Jen Turner. She's a freelance writer in Brooklyn who's visiting her folks here in the much smaller Richland, Washington. She says the biggest difference between the Big Apple and the Apple Capital, the amount of pokey stops where players can restock their potions and pokeballs. In Brooklyn, it's
like stop after stop after stop.
In Richland, it's a very different game.
I had to walk like a mile to get to the first pokey stop.
On the fruit ranch, Jim Heising says his kids were disappointed, but it wasn't long before they returned to
lots of walks, riding bikes, shooting BB guns, lots of barbecues, mowing the lawn, taking four-wheel drives.
All sorts of fun stuff like that. In Findlay, Washington, I'm Anna King from Marketplace.
And for those of you who take your public radio folks too seriously, I was being facetious about the pronunciation. I am fully aware it's pronounced Pukeman. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.